show you who I'm after. I take a deep breath and stare at the button before me for a few seconds. The contacts detect my lingering look, and the real world around us, the office, the couches, the walls, darkens and disappears. When the world reappears again, we are both standing in a sterile white space with white walls that stretch to infinity. I recognize it as one of the beginner worlds in Warcross, paintbrush level. If you reach out your hands and run them along the white walls, streaks of rainbow paint sweep across the surfaces. I curl my toes slightly and imagine walking, and with those double cues, my avatar moves forward. As we walk, I absently run a hand along one of the walls, watching as the colors streak behind my fingers. Hideo leads us to a corner of the world where he finally stops. I relax my toes and stop too. He looks at me. "This is the first world where we noticed something was off," he says. He runs a hand along the wall, leaving trails of bright green and gold. Then he digs his fingers against the surface and pushes. The wall opens, obeying his touch. Behind the wall is a world of dark lines and streaks of light, sequenced into detailed patterns. The code that runs this world. This is a glimpse of the API at work in the game. Hideo steps inside the wall, then gestures for me to join him. I hesitate only for a second before leaving the paint-smeared world of white walls and entering the dark mess of lines. In here, the lines of light cast a faint blue hue against our skin. A jolt of excitement runs through me at the sight, and I scan the columns, analyzing and absorbing as much as I can. Hideo walks a little, then pauses before a segment of code. My instincts kick in, and my eyes relax, taking in the whole display of code before me. Immediately, I see what the problem is. It's subtle, easily overlooked by someone not experienced with analyzing the Neuralink's framework, but there it is, a section that looks mangled. The lines tangled in a way that doesn't match the pattern around it, a section out of place with the rest of the organized chaos around us. Hideo nods approvingly when he realizes that I've noticed it. He steps closer to the tangled part. "Do you see what he did? He's not just showing me what happened. He's testing my skills." "It was rewired," I answer automatically, my eyes darting across the code. "To report data." Hideo nods, then reaches out to the mangled portion and taps it once. It flickers before snapping back into place, clean and orderly, the way it's supposed to be. "We patched it up. I'm just showing you a memory of how it looked when we first found it. But the person left behind no trace of himself, and he's gotten better at hiding his tracks since then. We've taken to calling him Zero, as that is the default in the access record. It's the only marker he leaves behind." He looks at me. "I'm impressed you caught it." "Does he think I'm Zero?" I look sharply at him. "Has he brought me all the way here, asked me his questions? Is this your first time in Japan? Do you have any idea what you did? Just to see if I'm the suspect he's looking for?" I scowl at him. "If you want to know whether or not I'm Zero, you could just ask me." Hideo gives me a skeptical look. "And would you admit it? I would have appreciated your directness instead of this roundabout game you're playing with me." Hideo's stare seems capable of piercing straight through my soul. "You hacked into the opening ceremony game. Should I apologize for suspecting you?" I open my mouth, then close it. "Fair enough," I admit. "But I didn't do this." He looks coolly away. "I know. I didn't bring you here to force a confession. Jerk." The world around us suddenly shifts. We've zoomed out of both the code and the paintbrush level, Now we're standing on a hovering aisle, surrounded by 100 other floating aisles overlooking a beautiful lagoon. This was the world used in the opening ceremony that I'd hacked into. Hideo pulls the world as if he were spinning it under his fingers, and it rushes by beneath our feet. I swallow hard. The version that his account is hooked up to is obviously different from mine, giving him in-game abilities that I don't have. It's strange to be inside this game with its own creator and see him play with it as its god. Hideo finally stops us at one portion of the cliffs. He reaches out and pushes. Again, we enter a space of lines and light. This time, the tangled section is much harder to find. I let my focus turn fuzzy and my subconscious emerge, searching for the break in the pattern. It takes me a few minutes to get my head around it all, but finally, I catch the portion of the code that's off. Here, I say, pointing. Same story. Whoever this Zero person is, he set up this level to report stats to him about every single audience member watching the game. The realization sends an ominous shiver through me. I look closer. Wait. There's more here. He almost disabled the level, didn't he? This spot. He realized that the code was weak here. When Hideo doesn't reply right away, I glance away from the code to see him studying me. What? I say. How did you find that? He asks. Find what? The mangled code? I shrug. I just noticed it. I don't think you understand. He puts his hands in his pockets. It took my best engineers a week to do what you just did. Then maybe you need better engineers. I can't seem to control my retorts around Hideo. His chilly demeanor temper must be rubbing off on me. But he just faces me with a thoughtful look. And how would you fix this? My attention goes to the compromised code. My father taught me how to take in everything at once, I murmur as I sweep a hand across the text. You don't have to break down every detail. You just need to see the overall pattern to catch the weakness in it. I reach out to grab the code, pull forward an enormous block of it, and swipe it away. Then I replace it with a single, efficient line. The rest clicks into place around it. There, I say, resting my hands on my hips. That's better. When I look back at him, he's analyzing my change without saying a word. Maybe I've passed his test. Decent, he says after a moment. Decent? Decent? My scowl deepens. Why would someone be interested in collecting this data and messing with the games? Your guess is as good as mine. You're worried he's going to sabotage the games again. I'm worried he's doing something far worse than that. I refuse to halt the games just to bow to a hacker's threat, but the safety of our audience isn't something I want to compromise. Hideo looks to his side. The world rushes away again, and suddenly we are sitting back in his office. I startle at the sudden shift. These contact lenses are going to take some getting used to. With your current celebrity status, I thought it best if we hid you in plain sight, put you on one of the teams. It will allow you to be physically closer to the other players. Why do you want me close? The nature of the attacks makes me suspect that Zero was one of them. One of the professional players. Their names rush through my mind. And what will I and the other hunters be competing for? What's your bounty prize? Each of you will see the prize amount as a pending number in your bank accounts. Hideo leans forward and rests his elbows on his knees. He gives me a pointed look. If you decide you want to turn this down, that this is more than you want to deal with, I'll have you on a private flight back to New York. You can just treat this as a holiday before returning to your life. I'll pay you a sum for participating, regardless, for catching a major security flaw in the game. Take your time to think it over. A sum for participating. It's as if Hideo were offering me pity money. An easy out if I don't feel up to the challenge of his bounty. I imagine getting on a flight back to New York, returning to my old life while some other hunter catches Zero. A tingle runs through me at the chance to crack this problem, possibly the biggest puzzle I've ever been given the chance to solve. I'm going to win this time. I've already thought it over, I say. I'm in. Hideo nods. Instructions for the war draft will come your way shortly, as well as an invite to an opening game party. Meanwhile, make a list of anything you think you'll need from me. Access codes, accounts, and so on. He stands up. Hold out your hand. I eye him warily, then put my hand forward. He takes it, turning it over so that my palm faces up. He holds his own hand an inch above my palm until a black rectangle resembling a credit card appears against my skin. Then he presses a finger lightly to my palm and signs his name against it. The feel of his skin moving against mine makes my breath catch. The virtual credit card flashes blue for a moment, authorizing his signature, and then disappears. This is for you to buy whatever you need during your stay, he says. No limit, no questions asked. Just use your palm whenever you need to make a purchase, and the charge will go directly to this. Cancel it by signing your own name against your palm. His eyes lock on mine. And keep this discreet. I'd rather not broadcast our hunt to the public. What I wouldn't have given during my most difficult weeks for a card like this. I take my hand back, the feeling of his signature still burning against my palm. Of course. Hideo offers me his hand. His expression has turned serious again. I look forward to our next meeting, then, he says, with absolutely no indication in his tone that this is true. My eyes flicker again to his bruised knuckles before I shake his hand. The last moments are a blur. Hideo returns to his meeting room without looking back at me. I'm escorted down to the lobby of the studio, where I sign some more papers before heading out to where my car is waiting. As I settle inside, I let out a long breath that I didn't realize I was holding. My heart is still hammering in my chest, my hands shaky from our encounter. Not until we've left the studio behind do I reach into my pocket, grab my phone, and log into my bank account. This morning, I had $13. What sort of money is Hideo tempting me with? Finally, the account page loads on my screen. I stare at it in stunned silence. Pending deposit, $10 million USD. Chapter 9. I have to load the screen a few more times before I can trust the number there. Sure enough, it doesn't change. 10 million. A $10 million bounty. Hideo's insane. The highest bounty I've ever seen is $500,000. This number is off the charts. There must be more to this job than Hideo's letting on. It can't possibly be as simple as catching a hacker who's just trying to mess up the games. Even if the games are the world championships. What if it's a more dangerous job than I think it is? I shake my head. Warcross is Hideo's life's work. His main passion. I think back to the glint of intensity that I saw in Hideo's eyes when he showed me the contact lenses. I do have a specific set of skills that appeals to him. I hunt criminals, I hack, I'm a Warcross fan who is very familiar with the game's inner workings. Maybe it's been really hard for him to find hunters suitable for this job. My thoughts return to our meeting. The perfect Hideo I'd pieced together from years of documentaries and articles doesn't seem like the one I'd just met. Condescending, unsmiling, cold. The reality of a mythical figure I'd built up in my head. He doesn't mean to be intimidating, Ken had insisted, but Hideo's walls are nevertheless there, making his politeness seem insulting, and his intentions vague. Maybe it's all part of being so disgustingly wealthy that he doesn't need to open himself up to anyone. Or maybe he just doesn't like me very much. I bristle at the thought. Fine, I don't like him all that much either. Besides, I don't need to like a client in order to work for him. I certainly don't like the police who I've worked for. All I have to do is my job. Keep him updated on my progress and catch Zero before anyone else does. All I have to do is get the bounty. $10 million. I think of Dad, sitting up late at night after he thought I'd gone to bed, resting his head wearily in his hands, staring at a never-ending stack of overdue bills. I think of him staring blearily at a glowing screen, placing yet another bet with money he didn't have, hoping that this time he'd win it big. $10 million. I could win it big. I'd never have to worry about debt again. I could be safe for life. If I win this bounty, everything changes forever. A message dings in my view as we pull up to my hotel. It's from Ken. Miss Chen! I don't know what you said to him in there, but well done. Well done? For what? You should know that Hideo has never hired someone that quickly. Ever. Really? I thought I annoyed him. Everyone thinks that. Don't mind him. Look for a gift at your front door. Hideo had it sent for you the instant you left his office. After that meeting, it's hard to believe what Ken is saying. Thanks. Welcome to the team. By the time Jiro drops me off and I make my way up to my suite, the gift, a beautiful box made of black suede, is already sitting on my desk. Next to it is a glossy envelope emblazoned with a gold stamp of the Warcross logo. I stare at it for a long moment, then bend down and open the box. It's a brand new, limited edition electric skateboard, sleek and light, painted in elegant black and white. I test the weight of it in my hands, disbelieving, and then toss it down and hop on it. It responds to me like a dream. Hideo's bodyguards must have told him about my old beat-up skateboard. This board is easily worth $15,000. I'd eyed it in catalogs before, fantasized about how it might ride. I read the card included in the box. For you. See you at the war draft. H.T. 1 second he's interrogating me, the next he's sending gifts. My eyes go from the note to the envelope next to the box. Just a couple of days ago, I'd been standing in front of my apartment, looking in despair at a bright yellow eviction notice. Now I reach out for the envelope, tear it open, and pull out a thick, heavy black note with gold print. Miss Amika Chen is officially invited to participate in the war draft as a wild card on March 3rd. I've watched the war draft every single year. It always takes place in the Tokyo Dome a week after the All-Star opening ceremony, with a packed stadium of 50,000 screaming fans and all eyes trained on the wild card players sitting in the stadium's front rows, circling the central arena. One by one, the 16 official Warcross teams choose their top picks from the wild cards. Warcross fans know most of the wild cards by heart, because the wild cards tend to be some of the highest scoring players in the game, those who are constantly on the leaderboards and have millions of followers. Last year, the first round draft pick was Ana Carolina Santos, representing Brazil. The year before that, Poland's Pen Wachowski, who now plays for Team Storm Chasers, was picked first. And the year before that, it was South Korea's Kiwoon Kento Park, who currently is on Team Andromeda. But I'm used to watching this madness unfold from home with my glasses on. This time, I'm going to be sitting in the front row of the Tokyo Dome. My hands shake now as the car pulls into the streets near the dome. My eyes stay transfixed on the scenery outside. If Times Square had seemed crazy about Warcross, it's nothing compared to Tokyo. Through my contact lenses, the entire main intersection of Shibuya is alight with hovering screens, rotating through each wild card's photo and showing clips from past drafts. Thousands of screaming fans cluster in the streets below. The car drives through a special blocked-off section where a squadron of police guide us through. As we pass by, people on the sidewalks wave at each of our cars, their faces lit with excitement. They can't see through our tinted windows, but they know that this is the only route taken to escort the players to the dome. Overhead, my photo appears, covering the entire side of a skyscraper. It's an old picture of me as a high school sophomore, the last year I spent in school before I was expelled. I look grave in it, my hair pinned straight and at least a dozen different bright colors, my skin so pale it looks ashen. Headlines about me are sprinkled everywhere. Breaking news, Amika Chen nominated for War Draft. From penniless glitch to wildcard star, details in this week's issue. Henka Games stock jumps with Amika Chen edition. Seeing my face cover 80 stories is enough to make me nauseous. I force myself to look away from the madness outside and instead press my trembling hands together firmly in my lap. Think of the 10 million, I repeat to myself. I glance outside again to see another billboard rotate onto a photo of DJ Ren, who's wearing his giant headphones and hunched over his DJ equipment. Suddenly, it occurs to me that the other two bounty hunters, whoever they are, will probably be watching me at the War Draft. Investigating me. Are they wild cards too? By the time we pull into the roped-off section of the Tokyo Dome's side entrance, I've almost calmed the butterflies wreaking havoc in my stomach. In a blur, I look on as men in suits open my door, help me out of the car, and usher me down a red carpet that leads into the cool, dark recesses of the stadium's rear. Think badass thoughts, I tell myself. My guides lead me into a narrow corridor with a ceiling that gradually slopes higher and higher. The sound of 50,000 screams grows near. Then, as I enter the main space, the roar turns deafening. The stadium is bathed in dim blue light. Dozens of colored spotlights sweep back and forth across the space. The aisles are jam-packed with viewers, waving homemade posters of their favorite wildcard players, all gathered here to see us in the flesh. With my contacts on, I can see enormous holographic screens lining the edge of the central arena. On each of these screens, footage plays of the wildcards in action during some of their most popular in-game moves. The players look like they are lunging right out of the screen as giant three-dimensional figures, and each time they make a good move, the crowd screams at the top of their lungs. A bubble pops up in my view. My level jumps by two. Official War Draft participant. Congratulations. Plus 20,000 points. Daily score plus 20,000. You've leveled up. You're on fire. Level 28. 30,180 notes. You earned a treasure chest. The front rows of the stadium are half full of wildcard players. As the guides usher me into a row, I scan the crowds around me and try to match up some of these people with their Warcross personas. My eyes register a few faces. Abeni Leah, representing Kenya. She's ranked in the top 50 worldwide. Then there's Ivo Eriksson, representing Sweden. Hazan Demir, a girl from Turkey. I swallow, wondering if it'd be silly to ask for their autographs. Time to work, I remind myself. Quietly, I make an upswipe gesture with two fingers and bring up my shields, then hunt for the security that blankets the dome. Hideo gave me a special ID to get past it all, giving me access to the basic information that Henka Games stores about each user. but using the ID will also allow Hideo to track me more easily. Something that might leave me vulnerable to hacking from Zero or another bounty hunter. So instead, I've edited my access to keep me off the grid. It'll help me work better. If Hideo has a problem with that, he'll just have to take it up with me later. Soon, numbers and letters appear in random places around the dome, highlighting the areas where the code is generating bits of virtual reality over the actual scene. An overlay of the stadium's blueprint hovers faintly over everything. Most importantly, basic data appears about every person in the arena, in tiny blue digits over each of their heads, so many that the data seems to blur into streaks. Finally, I get to my seat. Behind us, the stadium lets out another piercing round of shrieks as the giant screens show a montage of Team Phoenix Riders' best plays from last year. Hello. I turn as a girl nudges my side. She has reddish-blonde hair tied back in a low, messy tail and a smattering of freckles across her pale skin. She gives me a lopsided grin. When she speaks again, I see the transparent English translation in my view. Are you Amika? Her eyes wander up to my rainbow hair, then down to my arm of tattoos. The one who broke into the opening ceremony? I nod. Hi. The girl nods back. I'm Ziggy Frost, from Bamberg, Germany. My eyes widen. Right, I know you. You're one of the best thieves out there. I've watched so many of your games. I can tell she's rapidly reading the German translation of my words that's showing up in her view. Then she brightens until I think she might pop. She reaches forward and shoves someone sitting in the row in front of us. Yue Bin, she exclaims. Look, I have a fan. The guy she shoved gives an annoyed grunt and turns around in his seat. He smells faintly of cigarette smoke. Good for you, he mutters in Chinese as I read my translation of his words. His eyes shift to me. Hey, aren't you the girl who glitched into the opening game? Is this how I'm going to be known forever? The girl who glitched? Hi, I say, stretching a hand out. I'm Amika Chen. The American, he replies, shaking my hand once. You speak Mandarin? I shake my head. My dad knew exactly 5 Chinese phrases, and 4 of them were swears. He shrugs at my response. Oh, well, I'm Yue Bin from Beijing. I smile. The top fighter in the rankings? His grin widens. Yes. He reaches over and nudges Ziggy once. See, you are not the only one with a fan. Then he looks back at me. So, you are a wild card now? I mean, congratulations, that is really great. But I don't remember seeing you in the top rankings this year. That's because everyone wrote her in at the last minute, Ziggy pipes up. Hideo himself approved the nomination. Yue Bin lets out a whistle. You must have really impressed him. So, the rumors about me have spread. This is not how I want everyone in Warcross to know me, the girl who glitched into a game out of sheer stupidity, then got into the war draft as a wild card because my stunt got me written in. What if Yue Bin suspects that I'm in this draft for another reason? Don't be so obvious. To him, you're just here to play Warcross, I remind myself. I force a smile back at Ziggy and shrug. It probably doesn't matter. I bet I'll be the last one picked. Ziggy just gives me a good-hearted laugh and pats my shoulder. What is that saying? Never say never, she replies. Besides, do you remember one year when that player, Leroy something, actually got drafted into the Storm Chasers, even though he always just charged in and messed up his entire team's play? My God, he was terrible. Too late, she realizes she's accidentally insulted me again. I mean, not that you are as bad as Leroy. My point is that you never know. I mean, well, you know what I mean. Yue Bin gives her a wry look before smiling at me. You will have to forgive Ziggy, he says. She never says the right thing at the right time. You're never the right thing at the right time. As they forget about me and fall into bickering, I quietly review what data I can see about each of them. Their full names and addresses, their travel schedules, anything that could help me notice something suspicious about their behavior. I download all of this and store it away for later analysis. But even from a quick glance, neither of their profiles seems odd. No basic shields of any sort to protect their data. Yabin even has a virus installed on his link that's slowing it down. Then again, maybe they're both hiding behind this facade. It's hard to tell without breaking into all of their info. Personal emails, private messages, stored memories. Encrypted things even Henka Games isn't allowed to have access to. I need a way in, a weakness, like how I'd stolen the power-up during the opening ceremony game. I need another break in the pattern. The stadium's main lights dim, and the sweeping lights change color. All of the seats are filled now. The audience cheers grow louder. I look down the line of seats and followed around the edge of the central arena, trying to recognize some of the other wild cards and match them up with the top-ranking players I know. Beside me, Ziggy and Yuebin finally stop arguing and we sit up straighter in anticipation.
Ladies and gentlemen!
The lights now sweep to the center of the arena, where an announcer wearing a Warcross logo t-shirt stands.
Warcross fans around the world, he says in a booming voice. Welcome to the Wardraft! We're about to add some wild cards into the mix of your favorite Warcross teams.
The audience roars with approval. My heart is beating so fast now that it leaves me feeling weak.
Let's introduce the most important person in here.
He points up at the same time the colorful spotlights shift to focus on a roped-off section of the stadium, a fancy seating area encased inside a glass box. Hovering over the box is a virtual sign that says, Official Seats, meant to be for Henka Games studio executives. Inside, a young man watches, one hand in his pocket, the other holding a glass. Two bodyguards flank him. Around us, the holograms change to show his face.
The one who made it all possible! Hideo Tanaka!
The stadium explodes into the loudest cheers I've ever heard, followed by a thunderous chant of, Hideo! Hideo! That makes the arena tremble. Hideo lifts his glass to toast the crowd, as if this level of insanity were perfectly normal, and then sits back down to watch. I force myself to look away.
There are 16 official Warcross teams, the announcer now goes on, and each team gets a total of 5 official players. We've already chosen the returning veteran players, but every team tonight has at least one open spot, and we have 40 wild cards for them to choose from. By the end of the draft, all 40 will belong on a team.
He waves a hand at our front row seats.
Let's do a quick introduction.
The spotlight changes to focus on the first wildcard player, and the music in the stadium shifts to a new song. The player is a boy with brown hair, who blinks at the sudden light on him.
Rob Jennings, representing Canada, level 82, who plays as a fighter. He is ranked 66th in the world.
Cheers erupt from the audience. When I look up at the crowds, I can see posters waving enthusiastically with Rob's name scrawled on them. Through my own view, I scroll through some basic data on Rob Jennings. Full name, Robert Allen Jennings, valedictorian of his high school. Last flight, Vancouver to Tokyo on Japan Airlines.
Next, we have Alexa Romanovsky, representing Russia. A level 90 player known for her lightning-fast thief attacks.
Another round of cheers. The music shifts to a song that she'd chosen for herself. I study a scrolling list of her info. Full name, Alexandra Romanovsky. Birthplace, St. Petersburg. A former competitor in the Paralympics. She was disqualified for picking a fight with a fellow teammate, so she switched her obsession to Warcross after that. She lifts her head high now and nods at the dome's crowd. The announcer continues down the row at a rapid pace. The spotlight inches around the opposite end of the arena, the music changing with every player. All of these players are well-known and highly ranked. I'm only at level 28, because usually I'm logged in as an encrypted anonymous account, and none of my activity or wins get properly recorded.
Renoir Thomas from France is better known as DJ Ren.
The audience bursts into a deafening round of cheers. I search for him, but the spotlight lands on an empty seat. The music playing for him is one of his own tracks, Deep Blue Apocalypse, a song with a soul-shaking bass and addictive beat. There's no question that he's the most popular.
Is currently busy preparing to host the first Warcross party of the year, but rest assured, you'll see him soon.
The introductions go on. There are a couple of other wild cards dressed up in gray and white outfits. Demon Brigade fans, probably hoping their clothes will warm them up to the official team. Others are wearing shirts declaring their favorite professional players. Still others look nervous and out of place. Lower-ranking players or players that will probably be drafted last. I fly through the reams of data for each of them, downloading and storing, organizing them into folders. Be careful of those nervous ones, I remind myself. It could be a disguise to hide a hacker.
Emeka Chen, level 28, hails from the United States of America,
the announcer shouts. I jump as the spotlight swings to me, and suddenly everything is blindingly bright. A burst of cheers comes from the stadium.
She plays as an architect. You may remember seeing her in the opening ceremony game, although you probably didn't expect to. In fact, she was so popular that our viewers wrote her in as a wild card nominee.
I wave hesitantly. When I do, the cheering turns louder. Look genuine, I remind myself. I widen my smile, trying to show some teeth, but from the giant projection of me in the dome, I look like I ate a bad batch of oysters. I wonder if it'd be noticeable if I crawled under my chair right now. When the announcer finishes introducing the wild cards, the spotlights sweep to the area of the stadium where the official teams are sitting. Screams go up as the announcer introduces each of the teams. My eyes stay fixed on them. I recognize the Demon Brigade's distinct white and gray outfits. Far from them sit the Phoenix Riders, already chosen for this year's team, led by Asher Wing, their flaming red hoods and jackets prominent. They utter a bunch of howls and whoops when the announcer says their name. Then come Team Andromeda, in hues of green and gold, and Team Winter Dragons, in ice-colored blue. Team Storm Chasers in black and yellow, Team Titans, purple, Team Cloud Knights, sapphire and silver. Even as I continue downloading the information, I find myself distracted as the spotlights sweep over each team, hardly able to believe that I'm in the same space as them. Finally, the announcer finishes. The stadium turns hushed as an assistant hands him a sealed envelope.
This year, the team who gets first pick of the wild cards is...
He pauses while he tears open the envelope in as dramatic a fashion as he can. His microphone picks up the sound, magnifying it until the entire dome sounds like it's tearing apart. He pulls out a silver card, holds it up, and smiles. The holograms shift to show what the card says.
Team Phoenix Riders!
In the official team section, the Phoenix Riders let out another round of whoops. Sitting in the middle of them, Asher Wing is looking down at our arc of wildcard seats with quiet concentration. My heart is hammering so hard now that I'm afraid it's going to break my ribs. The announcer waits for a moment as the Phoenix Riders exchange a few words between each other. The silence seems to stretch on forever. I catch myself leaning forward in my seat, eager to hear who they pick. Finally, Asher waves a hand once in front of him and submits his team's pick to the announcer. The announcer stares at their pick in his view, blinks a few times in surprise, and then waves his own hand once. The selection appears in enormous letters over his head, rotating slowly. Every hologram broadcasts it at the same time. It's my name.
Chapter 10. Emeka Chen! A chorus of surprised gasps echoes around the arena. There are people cheering around me. Someone's shaking my shoulders, and someone else is shouting enthusiastic words in my face. I just stare in shock. I know Hideo wanted to hide me in plain sight, but I didn't think he would make me the first-round draft pick. This has to be some sort of mistake. "This is no mistake," the announcer calls out, as if answering the thoughts in my head. He turns in a circle with his arms outstretched. "It seems this year's first-round draft pick will be an untested, untried, unranked wild card." He pronounces each word slowly with huge emphasis. "Who nevertheless impressed us all with her disruption of the opening ceremony game." He rambles on, joking that perhaps Asher Wing of the Phoenix Riders, well known for unconventional draft picks, has figured out something that the rest of us haven't. I just find myself staring blankly in the Phoenix Riders' direction. Asher has his eyes trained on me, a smug grin spreading across his face. He's one of the most intuitive captains out of anyone. He would have selected someone he could count on, experienced players who are ranked high. He wouldn't pick me just for the spectacle, would he? Did Hideo force his hand? Is he Zero? My gaze shifts up to the private box, where Hideo is still standing, his face looking straight toward me. Maybe he'd given the Phoenix Riders a command to choose me as the first pick. Maybe it really is for ratings. Maybe it's to throw the hacker Zero off my scent because I'm so publicly exposed. Or maybe it's to throw off the other bounty hunters. Whatever the reason, I find myself wondering when I'll get to talk to him again, to ask him the reasoning behind all this. Someone's shaking my shoulders so hard that I can almost feel my brain sloshing around. It's Ziggy. "Do you understand how big this is?" she shrieks in my face. I'm unsure of how to respond. "It means you will get used to being followed everywhere for the next few months and being on every news outlet. Heilige Scheiße!" She shrieks the phrase so wildly that the translation doesn't even try to interpret it. "Some people have all the luck." I finally manage to give her a faint smile, then settle in to try to watch the rest of the draft. My thoughts whirl as the announcer pulls a second set of cards and reads them out. The Demon Brigade chooses Ziggy, while the Phoenix Riders nab DJ Ren. The Titans get Alexa Romanovsky. The show continues, but I feel as if the spotlight is still on me. The flashes of light going off in the audience make me dizzy, and I wonder how many people have their glasses trained on my profile, hunting and digging for anything they can find out about me. "Hey," Yuebin nudges me. "Look up there." He nods toward the private box. I follow his gaze, ready to see Hideo. But Hideo is gone now. Only the rest of his company heads are there, chattering among themselves. Hideo's bodyguards have left, too. "It's like he came here just to see where you would land," Yuebin murmurs, clapping absently as another draft pick happens. "Just to see me drafted, the way he wanted me to be." My thudding heart sinks a little, and I feel a strange sense of disappointment without his presence in the arena. I'm about to look back down, but something shifts in the corner of my vision. My eyes dart up to the ceiling. I freeze. There, crouched high in the ceiling's maze of beams, is a dark virtual figure. I can't see anything else about him except static. The silhouette of his head is turned down, watching the draft take place. No name floats over his head. Everything about his posture looks tense, alert. Like he's not supposed to be here. A chill runs down my spine, turning my hands ice cold. At the same time, my bounty hunter instincts kick in. Screenshot. Record a screenshot.
I blink, right as the figure vanishes from sight. Hey, I blurt out, looking over at Ziggy, who is cheering on a wild card drafted by the Storm Chasers. Hmm? Ziggy replies without looking at me. Did you see that? See what? But it's too late now. The figure is gone. I scan the ceiling again and again. Perhaps the lights have blinded me so much that I can no longer see him, but he's nowhere to be seen now. The lattices of metal and lights are empty. He wasn't actually here. He was a part of the virtual reality, a simulation, and only I could see him because of my hack. Either that, or I just experienced an insane hallucination. Ziggy frowns, squinting skyward. See what? She repeats with a shrug. I stop myself, unsure what to say next without sounding crazy. I force a laugh. Never mind. Ziggy's attention has already strayed back to the draft. But I keep my eyes on the ceiling, as if he might reappear if I look long enough. Did I catch him? As the others applaud another wild card, I bring up a small secret panel of my screenshot. Sure enough, there he is. I didn't hallucinate it. The remainder of the draft passes in a whirlwind. When it ends and the rest of the stadium starts filing out, guards come to usher the wild cards and the professional teams out through special exits. I walk in numbed silence, even as everyone I pass watches me, and as some of the other wild cards occasionally come up to congratulate me. I smile back at them, unsure what to say. In the back of my mind, I still keep thinking about the figure. Maybe it was one of the other bounty hunters. Or maybe it was Zero, my target. Miss Chen, one of the ushers calls to me, holding his hand out in my direction and waving. This way, please. I follow him automatically. Behind me, Ziggy and Yuebin wave farewell as they hurry off toward another usher who is rounding up the new Demon Brigade and Storm Chaser drafts. Bye! See you in a game! Yuebin calls to me. I wave back. I'm taken to a waiting car, one of a dozen sleek black vehicles waiting in a line outside a private side exit. A cluster of fans have figured out where to wait, though, and as several of us step outside, they raise their posters and scream at us, holding out pens and booklets. Behind me, Asher Wing emerges from the exit with two handlers at his side. In virtual reality, Asher looks like a standing avatar. In real life, he is paralyzed from the waist down and sits in what must be the world's most expensive wheelchair. Now that I'm close enough to him, I can take in the details of the chair's solid gold rims and customized engraved leather. I look back at his face, wondering whether I should go up to him and say a proper hello, but stop myself from interrupting as he winks at a blushing fan and scoots his chair back into the crowd for a bunch of photos. The crowd nearly swallows him up before his handlers push everyone off. Then I'm ushered into a car, and my moment passes. I'll have to catch him later, when our team convenes. The cars take off one at a time, each heading in the same direction down the same road. I know where we're going. I've watched it play out on TV a dozen times. In the heart of Tokyo is the secure neighborhood of Meijido, where a gated estate of luxury quarters house Warcross teams for the duration of the tournament. It doesn't take us long to get there. As we pull up to the gate, reporters and fans cluster on the sidewalks with their phones held up and little drones hovering in the sky to take as much video as they can. Several of the drones hover too close to the gates. When they try to cross over, they hit an invisible shield that disables them, sending them clattering to the ground. No cameras, no drones, the guard at the gate repeats over and over in a bored tone. We enter the campus. Patches of green lawn dot the space, and sprinkled between them are individual buildings surrounded by trees. Through my contacts, a virtual layer of bright colors adorns the buildings,
painting each one in the colors of their respective team. Team names and logos hover helpfully over each dormitory, along with a cheery welcome message that rotates in different languages. Approved delivery drones fly in and out of each dorm, busily dropping off packages. The car pulls to a stop at a dead end. Someone is waiting for me on the curb as my door swings open. I find myself looking at Asher's grinning face. I hadn't even noticed that his car was ahead of mine. Over his head floats his name, level, and Phoenix Riders captain. "Hey," he greets, holding a hand out to me. Behind him, clusters of other players are already making their way down the paths toward their buildings. "I'm Asher, repping Los Angeles. Call me Ash." I shake his hand. "Yeah, I know," I reply, trying not to think about the fact that this is someone I've watched in Warcross games for years. "I'm a fan of your brother's movies. Didn't think I'd get to talk to you today." His expression flickers cold for an instant at the mention of his brother, but then he's back to normal, giving me a little laugh. "Sorry," he replies. "I wanted to greet you when we were heading to our cars, but you know, fans first." I smile. "Well, thanks for picking me." "Wasn't doing it out of charity." Asher shakes his head. "The Phoenix Riders have been struggling for years. We need some good, fresh blood. There's nothing generous about wanting the best for my team." His wheelchair turns away, and he tilts his head at me to follow him. "This is where you'll be staying for the next few months," he says as we turn a corner. I look ahead to see a stunning building, painted virtually with swirls of red, gold, and white. "I heard Hideo himself approved your nomination into the draft. After the stunt you pulled in the opening ceremony, it's a pretty interesting move." I smile again, a little more hesitantly this time. "I guess I'm good for the ratings," I reply.
"I guess you are."
"Careful," I remind myself as I hear the curiosity in Asher's voice. So, Hideo hadn't forced him to draft me. Or perhaps he knew that the intrigue he'd create over putting me in the draft would be enough to interest any captain. Whatever the real reason, at least Asher doesn't sound like he suspects Hideo's plans, and I intend to keep it that way. The less everyone here knows about what Hideo hired me for, the better chance I'll have at catching our guy. "And it looks like it's good for your ratings, too," I say, shifting the topic. "The Phoenix Riders are trending online over every other team. I bet the Demon Brigade's unhappy about that." At the mention of a rival team, Asher rests his head back against his wheelchair and taps his right hand against his armrest. He smiles in a way that flashes one of his canines, turning the grin vicious. "The Demon Brigade's always unhappy about something. Glad it's because of us this time." We reach our building. Asher rolls up the access ramp and spins his chair once in a flourish at the top. He stops at the towering main entrance, a sheer glass door painted with stripes in our team colors, and pulls aside as the panels slide open. "Wild cards first," he says. I step inside, into an open space 3 floors high. Into a dream. The sun pours into this central atrium from a pyramid-shaped glass ceiling, flooding the place with light. Directly beneath the glass ceiling is a heated turquoise pool, perfectly square and ready to be jumped into. Brightly colored couches, all red, gold, and white, and thick white rugs dot the living room space. The walls are made out of screens from floor to ceiling. Even as I take in the luxurious interior, I scan the corners of the building, already searching for how the dorm gets online. I'll need to find my way into the system and into everyone's accounts. Something nudges me hesitantly on my calf. I look down. Standing there, blinking up at me, is a boxy little robot as tall as my knee. Its eyes are bright blue and the shape of half moons. Its body painted a cheerful yellow, and its belly is covered with a clear glass panel,
through which I can see a tray of sodas being chilled inside. When it sees me staring, it sticks its belly out, pops open the glass door, and pulls out the soda tray for me.
His name is Wiki, Asher says. Our team drone. Go ahead, take a soda.
I don't know what to say to that, really, so I pick a can.
He's still staring at me, I murmur to Asher. He wants to see if you like the drink.
I take a sip of the soda. It's delicious. A fizzy strawberry flavor that tickles my insides. I make an exaggerated sound of joy. Wiki seems to take note of this, and over his head, a virtual set of info pops up. Amika Chen, strawberry soda, plus one.
He'll record your food and drink preferences throughout your stay, Asher adds. A robot that tracks everyone's info.
I smile at Asher, but not for the reason he thinks. This is my ticket in. The break in the pattern I've been looking for. I make a mental note to figure out how to break into Wiki's system later. Wiki offers a soda to Asher, too, then pops its belly shut and rolls off to where a boy is sitting on the couches. As I look on, the boy moves his hands in midair as if turning a steering wheel, and every now and then he makes a flinging motion. On the wall is a track winding through candy-colored hills, populated by giant mushrooms. He whips down the path, outpacing other players easily.
Mario Kart, Link Edition, as you can see, Asher says. It's a tradition around here.
A tradition?
We play for an hour every night during training to improve our speed reflexes. It gets pretty competitive.
Then he claps his hands together loudly and raises his voice so that it fills the dorm.
Riders! Who's here?
The boy hears Asher first, pauses the game, pops his earphones off, and turns around on the couch to look at his captain. I recognize him right away. The world-famous Roshan Ahmadi, with his brown skin and head of thick, dark curls, representing Great Britain.
Guess who I've got with me? Asher says, pointing to my hair.
You're so subtle, Ash, Roshan replies in a dry British accent that sounds more casual than Hideo's. He nods once at me.
Hello, Amika. I'm Roshan. He's returning as our shield this year, Asher adds. And he's also the world's top-ranked Mario Kart player, in case you're curious.
Hey. I take one hand out of my pocket and give him a single wave. An honor to meet you in person. Roshan seems pleased by that. He offers me a brief smile.
Likewise, love.
We've all claimed our rooms already, Asher says, nodding toward the hall that branches away from the main atrium. Roshan wanted the one with the largest windows. I got the far end, which has some custom upgrades detailed specifically for me. Captain's privileges. Ren's back at the end of the hall. And as for you...
Hey!
A voice calls down at us from one of the floors overhead. I look up to see a girl leaning her elbows over the balcony, loudly chewing gum. Her hair is a jumble of beautiful black curls that frame her round face, and she's dressed in an oversized white sports jersey that contrasts with her brown skin. On second look, her shirt isn't a sports jersey at all. It's a t-shirt that says Quidditch tryouts in giant sports lettering. I like her immediately.
That's Hamilton Jimenez, Asher tells me, loudly enough so that she can hear him. Or just Hammy. She's our thief.
He winks at her.
And my right-hand girl.
She grins back at him.
Feeling sentimental today, Captain?
He looks at me.
Fair warning. Don't let her talk you into playing chess.
Don't hate just because you can't win.
She blows an enormous bubble and then sucks it back in. Her gaze jumps to me.
Your room's up here, second floor. I took the larger bedroom since you're a wild card and I'm not. Hope you don't mind.
I wait to see a fourth player show his face, but the house falls into a moment of silence. Where's DJ Ren? I ask.
Won't see him until later, Asher replies. Ren's prepping for the party tonight. It's the only free pass he'll get from me, especially since I'm counting on him to be our new fighter. And let that be a lesson for you too, Emmy. We are here to win.
Of course, I say.
Good.